were gone a month, and I don't think he carried out the coffee grounds once. His best friend commented after the wake that his friends had noticed he wasn't dressing like he used to, keeping up with himself. So all the grooming things that you see in street people who are mumbling to themselves, these sorts of things were coming in. I don't think he was schizophrenic per se, but I think he was just not caring a lot anymore. I think he was massively depressed with his life.
Did you try to get him connected with a therapist or?
Not at this point. It was pretty much past trying to talk with him. His friends had tried to. I think I was kind of pushing at Mom that we needed to do something. I was ranting at my coffee shop. Somebody told me about a group for adult parents of adult children with mental illnesses. And I made my first meeting of that about the next month after he had his incident with the cafe and First Hill and West Seattle.
Tell me more about that dilemma of having an adult child who you're worried about, but at the same time, you have to give that person autonomy and the right to direct their own life. How do you wrestle with that?
Not very comfortably, not very gracefully, and it's tough on a set of parents who have a different style about things. You know, I am the tougher one. That wasn't how it was for her. She was trying to maintain conversation with him and give him some good space. We both got told, don't ever try to call any of my friends. Don't ever talk about my business. Very close that way. There were things in his life that he didn't want people to know. The things that he saw as shortcomings of him.
What kind of shortcomings was he troubled by?
Spinning his own wheels, 40 years old, doesn't have a family, doesn't have a career, hasn't done all these things that he had good ideas to do, can't hold a job.
Do you wish that you had had him committed?
After I went to the meeting of adult children, parents of adult children, and somebody says, you know, what we did was lie. I repeated that every opportunity I have. If you've got somebody that's a ticking time bomb, lie.
Lie and say that they're a threat.
Lie and say they are or have been an imminent threat right now. You know, I'm afraid to go back in the house after you leave, officer. He's going to just pull something out of the, you know, and kill me. Please don't leave. Take him away. Yeah, lie. Lie your ass off.
Because you didn't feel like you were in danger in that.
No, I never felt in that kind of danger that way. We were more on the way that, you know, he was going to get himself in trouble with his mouth and his actions, get killed under a bridge someplace.
How did you react when you heard about, like, the Aurora shootings or Newtown?
I immediately was looking at the paper and see how people took it, what people said. People that don't understand the difference between an evil person and a mentally ill person who does evil deed, the one that floored me reading the paper here, a spokesman for the police department claimed he'd never seen such a cold-blooded perp as my son standing in the cafe. To say that was a cold-blooded stance was to say that, you know, the demons were my son. My son had a moral compass, but he didn't have an awareness of where he was going with those deeds that morning. He did when he killed himself.
Why do you say that?
He cleaned up his mess.
You mentioned to me before when we were speaking that you'd like to see signs put up, say, on the buses. Can you tell me what you'd like to see?
Something that relates to people who understand you're living with a time bomb. Somebody's mental state is a time bomb. It's going to go off faster than you think. There is help. Here's a number. Hotline type things. One of the things I flagellate myself with is, you know, you should have kept coming back at it. You should have kept coming back at it. You should have kept coming back at it. Just because the door didn't open, keep banging at the door. Keep banging at the door.